I'd like to. I'm going to talk to Dicky Farrow right now, and because Dicky is the CEO of the Whakatohe Trust Board, and Opotiki has been, and of course in Opotiki, and Opotiki has come to the attention of the country over the last couple of years, and because they do have gangs like Rotorua, like other places in the country, and so I would like to hear what she has to say about what the government is planning in terms of actions against our gangs. Kia ora, Dicky. Nice to have you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Oh, kia ora, Merepeka. Pai ki te rongo ki a koe. Lovely to hear from you.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to have you with us because we've seen over the last couple of years the attention that Opotiki has come to the attention of the nations because you've got gangs there and there's been some activity from time to time. And, of course, now I guess with the government deciding they're going to have a crackdown on gangs in a whole number of areas, your community might be coming under the spotlight again.
Well, you know, it's come under the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. We've got a really good community here and we've been trying to, you know, re-establish ourselves. And like most rural communities, we have a lot of issues and high unemployment is one of them. But we've had gangs in our community for, you know, since the early 50s, 60s and 70s. So they've been part of communities, whether it's rural or urban. And, you know, we know many of them. As an iwi, many of them are our own whānau. But some of those members are working, their fathers, their grandchildren. So they do want, you know, some sort of, they want to be as normal as they can be. But I think, you know, we all want to look for solutions around behaviour. And one of the things that I'm really, you know, I want solutions around doing the right thing at the right time and targeting the behaviour of some of our gang members has to be a priority, you know, for the right. Everyone wants, knows what right and wrong is, but there are consequences for those. So, I mean, you know, I think we have to be reasonable and practical about what it is that we're trying to achieve in terms of what the government wants.
Well, and that is true. I do know that years ago when there was employment and pretty much full employment, yes, we still had gangs then, there's no doubt about that, but then they were still working, and so I guess the opportunity to be fully involved in antisocial behaviour, gang activity, wasn't as great then. But it's very, very difficult for many of our men who do have gang affiliations, who have been inside, to actually get work. And so that to me should be possibly one of the areas to focus on.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. Look, we've had social services and education programs running alongside for iwi, and we've had good success with getting some of our gang, young and older gang affiliates. We've got them work. Many of them are working in our pack houses, but, you know, again, that's seasonal. But they are wanting to be employed. Even some of the young ones we're working with who come from gang families. So, you know, the solutions around keeping them busy is important. It keeps some of our young ones out of trouble. But for us, we really want to drill down to what are their own aspirations? What do they want to do with their life, you know? We've had some instances where some of the young ones have not wanted to be part of that gang family, you know, that even though they're brought into it, born into the family, but they want to find their own destiny. And that's okay. I mean, our relationships with the gang members here in Opotiki is pretty good. It's fairly good, especially when, you know, we were put on the front page with Tiwana, what happened with Tiwana. That got blown out of proportion. We were heavily working beside both gang members, helping to. It wasn't about the gang. It was about the mums and the children involved. Our focus was on whānau needing help. But it did get blown up by the government. You know, it got out of control. It was a major issue that didn't need to be a major issue. We were in a tangi process. But I think, like, it goes back to target the behaviour. If you're going to put a ban on gang patches in public spaces, well, why? What would you? What if they're not acting in the right manner or behaving badly, or then of course, yes, take action. So, you know, yeah, that's my view in terms of being realistic about what it is that the government really want to do.
Well, I think you're right. I think let's get clear about what they want to do. And if they want to get people into work, then get them into work. But I suspect that there will be, I mean, gangs, I believe, will lawyer up. I mean, they're not silly. They're not silly. They know that there are human rights legislation that we have in New Zealand. And there are already lawyers now saying, well, this is not going to be easy for the government. And of course, the other thing, Dickie, that's getting people really up in arms is that there will be extended whānau members who, yes, have gang members in their whānau, but are likely to be caught up in any action that the police take around certain whānau. And they may not be the family members that should be, if for want of another expression, should be the ones targeted. So, you know, there's going to be, it's going to open the door, I think, and that's what I've heard today from a number of commentators. It could well open the door for the police to use their discretionary powers, and we know that those discretionary powers have been widely used against whānau Māori whānau.
Oh, look, I agree. You know, we've seen it ourselves when, you know, there have been times where, well, hey, what was the real issue we've got here? And if you give a power to anybody that's going to use it broadly and widely, then, you know, think about the impact and implications of that. You heard, and I saw that on TV last night, you know, where some of the gang members are saying this could cause more issues than they really warrant to have. I think our issue here in Apōtiki is really about the policing or the lack of police in our community who know this community, know what we, how we act, how we work, how we, and you know, have certain relationships with some of the gang members. And I'm pretty sure you would find that in most rural communities where they do know who the members are and they kind of have some sort of relationship, you know, and they're aware of what's going on in their community. The biggest problem for us, though, is the resourcing in our community when you've got such a large area to monitor if we're called to Tikaha, for example. That's an hour away drive, you know, if we need help in our community. With only two policemen on call, that's ridiculous. Mm. I don't think any normal human resource program would put up with that, you know, their health and safety issues. I actually want to commend Peter King. He deserves an award for just staying in this community for 33 years, not to be kicked in the guts for speaking out. You know, we're no different, like I said, to smaller other communities around the country. There is a lack of resource for policing to do what the minister wants them to do. So we've got to be proactive and solutions-focused to both manage, you know, the problems that are occurring in communities regarding gangs, but also the policing of those solutions.
Well, it does beg the question that, I mean, if the Minister of Police wants to reduce gang activity, but he's asking of his already overstretched police officers to take on more mahi, God knows how they're going to feel about that. I mean, you know, when you're under the pump anyway with the work that you have to do, and then you're going to have to rock up to a group of gang members who are meeting or riding or together, getting together because the community is feeling intimidated, and who the hang they are, goodness only knows, then it really could be a recipe for disaster, because those police officers, you know, it's a lot to ask them to move into a situation that could, in fact, turn extremely dangerous very quickly.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that could have happened to us more recently, but we had to wait for, you know, police from out of town. It's a concern. It's a huge concern for smaller communities that want to protect the health and, you know, that we all want safer communities. We all do. We all want to be able to live in our communities knowing that there is call for up there is call just 2 minutes away. I mean, we've had previous, examples of going to the police station and no one is there. So I think really the minister needs to address this issue around policing in smaller communities. One of the solutions could be, review your recruits to be placed in smaller communities. Not everybody needs to be in an urban setting, but give them that experience with experienced policing staff. I think there needs to be a real review of the whole policing system around making sure that there's access and good access and reliable access for the police, to ensure that they're not stressed, to ensure that they are able to be called on from their other police staff. So I really feel for the police that are understaffed currently in our smaller communities, and there needs to be a look at, the recruitments when they come out.
Well, I was just thinking, Dickie, with this extra activity that the police, are likely to have, landing on their shoulders, it could also affect how our community right now, who are usually supportive of the police, how they view the police. And that would be a tragedy if some of the goodwill that has been built up in communities with the police officers, who are part and parcel of the community, they live in the community, their kids go to school, we know who they are, and then suddenly we see them, having to take on, target gangs. It could really see a deterioration in a relationship that might have been built up and taken quite some time to build up, and that could just go south pretty damn quickly.
Oh, it could. It could. And Peter knows that. Peter King, he's been in here for 33 years, like I said. He knows the community well, and there is a general respect for those that, over time, they know him. They're well aware of, and even all the other police that are in our, in our small community. I actually have to say thank you to them for being brave enough to stay in our community when things become difficult and get out of hand in terms of some of the gang behaviour. And we really need a workforce that is mobile and quick to respond. Incidents happen quickly in smaller towns, and you're kind of left waiting, to see what's going on. We try as a service and as an iwi to step in only where necessary. If things can be de-escalated early and we're aware of it, we do try to do that, while the police are called to support and deal with the issue. But if it becomes too serious, then we back off. But at the end of the day, we want all our rural communities to be able to be well-resourced with the police, to be able to crack down on the behaviour of some of our gang members. And I've seen a lot of that behaviour is coming from a lot of our young ones that have been caught up, in there. There has to be consequences for the behaviour problem and target that, not so much the patch that they may wear. The patch is a part of their culture. It's no different to what others in different cultures how they practice and what they do. It's part of their culture, but it is unacceptable to be able to bring fear to a community when gangs get out of control.
Yes. Well, I think I have heard from a number of older gang members who do say, and they've been around for a long time, who do say that the younger gang members, there is very much a difference. They don't, I mean, there used to be, you could say this, this code of conduct. They had their own code of conduct. And of course, now younger members, they either don't subscribe to it or see no value in it and just want to go off and do their own thing and yet still be part of the gang whānau. And that's a worry for some of the older people within the gangs.
And you're absolutely right. I have spoken to some of the older gang members themselves, and they're finding it difficult. you know, on how to manage some of the younger ones that are hooning around on bikes and things like that. So it's an issue for them that we rely on their judgment to try and manage those situations in some instances. You know, there's a camaraderie amongst the gangs, but, you know, I mean, I don't know in depth what goes on in most of the gang families, but there is a general respect, I think, between the older ones and some of the middle age ones, but the youth are really a different set, you know, the ones that really want to try and prove a point. And I know that with some of the work that we've been doing, we've been trying to target some of our young ones and try and show them a different way, you know, and try and think, get them involved in other things other than causing unrest. I think so, that's one of the things, trying to keep them busy, really.
Yes, yes. So there is a, I mean, there is a role for iwi leadership in trying to assist the gang members to think about a life perhaps outside of gangs, although gangs have been their whānau for decades now, and so that's an entrenched, that's where they feel safe, that's where they have their relationships, that's where they have their loyalty. So the targeting of gangs by the police could upend some communities, you know, quite badly, unless there is somebody such as perhaps the iwi leadership, just saying, well, let's take this as an opportunity to look to see what it is that, what is your aspiration or your vision for the future, actually, of your gang whānau?
Yeah, look, you know, we've had, we've been supportive of our gang, our Mangomol whānau here, as well as our Black Power whānau. But the reality is they are some of my own, you know, relations, and I guess when you have that familiar relationship, you find it a little bit easier to work and talk with them. So there's a general, for the whānau that are here in Opotiki, there's a general respect around, you know, wanting to do things different. And when we've hosted a couple of wānanga with some of, with the Mangara mob to see what they wanted in terms of their aspirations, we've done that. But we've pretty much left it to them to decide. We don't go in there and tell them what to do. We just let them know we're here. We want to help. You know, we want to make sure that your whānau, your tamariki, your mokopuna have a future. So we've taken that visionary aspect and tried to see that there, you know, we're doing everything we're doing in Opotiki to create employment. There's opportunity with the with what we're doing in terms of economic development and the investment by the Crown. So we're trying different ways to transform our community and to try and, you know, we look at them as our whānau. We don't look at them because they're wearing a patch. They are our whānau in the majority of the time. In communities such as the Opotiki, we're very small. So the creation of employment is important for smaller communities to keep put people into work, and give them an income, a steady income that they've earned through their own efforts, through their own dreams. That's something that we are trying to do as an iwi in Whakapoa here. And I guess for many other iwi leadership, you know, they are more than likely also being involved in what's going on in their communities around gangs.
Well, Dicky, it appears that that whakatoa here, you're in for some really changed economic circumstances, because you're on the cusp. Is it true to say you're on the cusp of of economic growth and development in your region now, in your rohe?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been working on our economic strategy now for probably about 10 years. And we did a lot of work around understanding our whānau. We interviewed our whānau, about 700 of them, just to see what it is they wanted, their dreams and aspirations. So we've got a solid platform of understanding around where our whānau are coming from. Plus going around the country also asking our people, what is it that you want to see happen in Whakatoa here? And it's really those dreams and aspirations we've taken, and we've hunkered down and developed strategies and worked with, you know, the Crown around what we wanted to see in aquaculture. We've now got a mussel factory opening, and majority of those that are working in there are whakatohea that have, that it's just changed their whole life by having a job. So there's lots of economic prosperity on the horizon as well as we move through our settlement process. So it's had to be transformational, because we knew and understood the issues we were facing in this community.
Well, it sounds very, very exciting. And I must say, I managed to catch some of the online, some of the performances online over the weekend for the Matatua Regional Kapahaka. And obviously for the selection, vying for selection for Te Matatini. I mean, that was fantastic. I don't know if you managed to catch any of it yourself, but it was really fantastic. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I did. Very much a part of that, very much cheering on all whānau, whānau Apanui and my mum's side and whakatohea. But all of those, it was an awesome day. And, you know, I just take it off to Torere for putting it on in the most beautiful space down there in their rohe. A little, you know, little iwi like Torere did well for the Matatua regionals.
Well, it looks stunning. I mean, the venue, the location will look stunning. And I was surprised too when I thought, Torere. But then again, hey, that was the little community that did.
Absolutely, they did. And I'm proud of them and I take my head out off to them. You know, they did a fantastic job.
Well, they certainly did. And it looks as if the bar's been already set. Look, Dickie, thank you so much for talking with us this evening. It's been great having you on and also getting the perspective of a community that that knows what it is to have gang members living as members of the community with everything that means. And just great to have your perspective.